Welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, it's 1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good day to all you beautiful people across this great land of ours, the United States of America, and to our friends to the North, Canada, Mexico, Central South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia. This report today, the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report, goes around the world by shortwave, WWCR out of Nashville. And we have as our guest, back by popular demand, Chip Tatum. Chip Tatum just finished 6 shows with the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report that were made available to you for $49.95, $120 value for $49.95. We're beginning today a series of 6 more shows, including this show today, for another $49.95. So get your order in early by calling 800-205-6245. And welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report for the second hour. Chip Tatum, how are you?
I'm great, Ted. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Chip, we're rocking the boat here a little bit, and that's the idea of these radio talk shows, to get the truth out to the American people. I was interviewed by Fox TV here locally in Dallas several weeks ago, and they asked me, and I've said this on the show before, why are more people turning to talk radio for the news rather than the regular network shows, ABC, NBC, and CBS? And I told him, because we are telling the truth, and the mainstream media is hiding the truth. And he asked me, well, why do I not know about these things? And I told him that you've been duped and you're not educated and you haven't done your proper research and done the background investigation into these matters that you need to do. And believe it or not, he put it on the air. I was quite surprised.
Well, yeah, and I think today American journalists are spoiled. They don't feel like they need to go out to look for information. They want it all given to them in hand.
It comes over the wire.
Sure.
And, you know, we do not seem to have, other than Gary Webb in San Jose, we do not seem to have any blue-collar reporters anymore.
I'll buy that 100%.
Like we had back in the 40s and 50s and even some part of the 60s.
We certainly do overseas, though. You know, this information is going out. Dutch TV is getting ready to do an hour special. I spoke with them in an interview last night. I spoke to a group from BBC this afternoon, or earlier this morning, I'm sorry. And they're going forward with specials. They know the truth over there.
And
their
own
intelligence people are corroborating what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, do you have a list of people that you're furnishing to these various news media outlets overseas?
Uh-huh.
Yes, good. You know, if you want to furnish me a list of people, I'd appreciate it, and I'll put them on the show.
Good enough.
Yeah. And as I said on the first hour, we had a caller from the East Coast, and this gentleman is going to make 40 copies of the last 6 shows that we did, and I'm sure he'll be making some copies of these next 6 shows. The first hour, folks, we talked about William Barr and Mike Herrera and Buddy Young in a conversation in an airplane that Chip was flying, and where they discussed, obviously, Bill Clinton's involvement in the drug operation. We also talked about George Bush and Jeb Bush and Jeb arranging based on a conversation for the contract killing of SEALs. A complaint by the higher-ups in the drug operation about the Arkansas element dipping down into the till, the loss of money they referred to in these conversations. And Chip had these conversations recorded. Where are these recordings? You got them scattered around the country, I hope, Chip.
That particular recording is in the hands of a federal judge right now, Federal Judge Henry Lee Adams. During the SEPA briefing, it was given to him. We also have other copies tapped around the country, but he's in possession of that because part of our defense in my trial when they were going to try me for treason was, this is a sham. I'm being tried here because I know too much about these guys and they don't want me to be able to come forward and be a credible witness.
What's the judge's reaction to that?
The judge said this after hearing everything, and now the SEPA, Classified Information Procedures Act, was started by the government. When I was charged with the crime, when the indictment came down, they said, they put a motion into the court stating that I could not be allowed to use any classified or information having to do with national security. I should be recused from being able to use any of that. And the judge sat and he listened to the evidence and he said, well, these flight plans and this recording are not classified. They don't have to do with national security because these people are no longer in those positions in office. However, the tape recording isn't admissible because it's a tape recording and they didn't know they were being recorded. So his final statement was, I will not allow any testimony or evidence in this court concerning their involvement, speaking of Clinton, Bush, or the CIA, in drug trafficking. It is irrelevant. Judge Henry Lee Adams, Jr., U.S. Federal Judge, Middle District of Florida.
Well, now I find that very interesting. Let's go back to, as long as we're talking about your arrest and so forth, let's go back and discuss the circumstances leading up to your arrest and what was said and the details.
I had, in 1992, I left the OSGs, the operational subgroups that I was attached to under the crisis pre-planning group. I disagreed with the command element's decision on some items, and I walked away. When I walked away, I was told by my handler, Mr. Colby, you don't just walk away from these groups. I said, I know that, Bill. And I gave him a copy of my insurance policy. I said, if anything happens to my family, if they're harmed in any way, that'll go forward.
Which was what?
Copies of tapes, copies of audios, copies of documents collected through the years to include some of the documents were assassination orders signed by the president.
And which president?
President Bush.
Okay. And
which is highly illegal without a congressional finding, and you can bet there weren't any congressional findings in these orders.
What happened to Bill Colby, other than the fact that he was probably murdered? What did he do with those?
That's what happened to him.
What happened to these documents that were in possession of Colby? What did he do with
them? The tape was given to Colby to show to the higher-ups.
Okay, hang on just a minute. I'll be right back, folks. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, what did Colby do with those? You said he took them to give them to the higher ups.
He had apparently played them for Mr. Bush, for Mr. North, and others, so that they understood where I stood, why I left, and what my insurance policy was. Because in 1994, I received a call from Mr. Rodriguez, Felix Rodriguez, and Mr. North at my office in Colorado. And they told me, you need to give us those documents that you have that you're holding, or else.
Oh, wait a minute. Colby presented these to Bush and North,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up calling you and threatening you?
Give them up, or else.
Well, who was on the other end of the line?
Huh?
Was North on the other end of the line?
That's who was on the other end of the line.
And how about the other gentleman? Was he on the line also?
Mr. Rodriguez was also on the line.
And you didn't record that conversation, did you?
Oh, yes, I did.
You're too much, Jeff. Well, now, wait a minute, Jeff. Look at this now. We have George Bush signing assassination orders. We have Ollie North threatening you. And you have a copy of the conversation with Ollie North. Have you ever had any direct contact with Bush?
Not since I walked away. I've had indirect contact with him when I was in prison. After I was arrested in 1995, returning from Honduras, picking up the documents that they wanted, copies of the documents. I had no intention of giving them to them, but I was arrested. The documents had, they waited too long to arrest me. I'd been able to place the documents safely. And I was visited by representatives of the National Security Agency and the CIA.
You want to name them?
I don't have their names.
Okay.
I was in a federal holding cell. You know, they don't hand. There's no hand-to-hand contact.
Right.
So no cards were passed per se. They explained to me what my options were. They told me to hand them over. I was going to be tried for treason, and I'd be either imprisoned for life or put to death. So instead of giving it to them, I published them.
And that's where the
Tatum Chronicles today.
That's where the Tatum Chronicles come from. Then.
That's correct.
And people can obtain a copy of that by what, writing to what?
Or they can call 1-800-201-7892 extension 58, or they can write me if they want. Okay. I'm at Post Office Box 895082, Leesburg, L-E-E-S-B-U-R-G, Florida, 34789.
Chip, you said in 1993 you left your group.
92, that's correct.
92 or 3?
92.
92, you left the group. What does that mean? You just walked away and said, I've had it?
Walked out.
Why did you do this?
You guys can have it. I don't need this. I'm done. I'm too old to handle these problems any longer.
Why did you do it?
Because of what I was asked to do. You know, I was an ex-prisoner of war. And the reason I was a prisoner of war is because an American president had ordered our unit abandoned. I did not agree and still do not agree with the neutralization of any American citizen. I won't hesitate at neutralizing a foreign citizen. But I will not be involved with the neutralization of American citizens. And in 1992, Mr. Bush asked us to neutralize Ross Perot. Now, he didn't mean to go kill Ross Perot. He just wanted Perot scared out of running for office. That's all he wanted. And he got it, too, didn't he? But he didn't get it by me.
And were you part of that?
No, I left.
That's why you left?
That's why I left. We were asked to do that, and I refused.
Who asked you to do it?
Vice President Bush did in a meeting in Jupiter Island, Florida.
So you were in the meeting, you heard it come right from his mouth?
Right from his mouth.
And how many people were there?
There were about 18 people in the meeting.
And have you talked to Perot, Ross Perot, about this?
Yes, I have.
What did he say?
Sent him communications about it.
What did Ross Perot say?
Nothing. I've had no response at all.
Well,
however, he left.
Well, he left. His daughter was threatened, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, that's correct. His daughter was threatened in a roundabout way. He was threatened. But,
right.
You know, I told him at the time, and I got word to him from friends through the FBI, as a matter of fact, that certain things were going to happen. Be ready.
Right. You want to tell us what those certain things were?
Well, it's hard to say what the OSG would have done. They work through coercion, through intimidation, through many means. You can blackmail a family member to get your target to come in line. There are many things you can do. I know what we did in Nicaragua. You know, there was the war going on for years and years and years down there between the Contras and the Sandinista government. And all we wanted free elections down there. Well, when push came to shove and when controls completely went from Vice President Bush to President Bush, he took care of it very quickly. He ordered the neutralization of a second cousin of Mr. Ortega, a good friend of Mr. Ortega, who happened to be his second cousin. He was told that on a certain date that person would be killed if he didn't have free elections. And 2 weeks later, Ortega would be the target. On that date, even though Ortega put armed guards around that person was killed. He was assassinated. Within 2 weeks, Ortega announced that he would have free elections. So no matter how much we did in the Contra effort down there, that had no effect over this Soviet-aligned Sandinista government. It was the actual threat.
How did they kill the cousin? How did they kill a cousin when he's surrounded by an army?
Rocket does wonders.
Oh, a rocket. Okay. All right, we'll be right back. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up.
Knowledge is powerful. Cassette tape copies of the show are available for $10. Call 1-800-205-6245.
And now, here's Ted.
And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, we're going to come back to George Bush and some of the boys, but before we do, we have John from Colorado on the line. John, you have a question for Chip.
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate what you're doing. My question is, Chip, are you familiar with Zapata Oil Company and the Bush family?
You bet.
And I think it would be really nice if you could comment on that, because I think that for years they used that as a cover. And I have another question, then I'll get off the air and let you guys go on. And is we're losing a lot of military aircraft. Another A-10 went down yesterday or today, I can't remember, with a female pilot.
9:30 last night.
And then we had the A-10 in Colorado that who knows what happened there, and a possible connection of that pilot to Mrs. Flynn or Miss Flynn, we're not sure. And all these things going on, a lot of helicopters going down, and I just wondered what you thought about that.
Okay, John, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Chip, you want to handle those questions?
Well, I know our government, as a pilot, a military pilot, my biggest concern was our aircraft were always made by lowest bidder. That means what are they going to do to these aircraft to get it in under cost and still make money? And that's always a concern of a pilot, you know, when you're flying aircraft made by lowest bidder. I think it ought to be the finest aircraft and the finest parts that we have available to us today, but unfortunately, because of the cuts and personnel cuts, you know, they just announced 100,000 people leaving military services. The worst thing we can do is have people who know nothing about the military in charge of the military.
That's right.
And I think that's the loss that we have. It's a matter of priority, and the priority is not in the man who is the commander-in-chief of the military.
Okay, but are they cutting down to say the 100, so we're going to lose 100,000 servicemen here? How about foreign troops in our country?
Well, we're trading off, huh? Getting rid of some and bringing new ones in.
Exactly. I think that's a grave concern. What about this loss of aircraft? Do you feel it's, I think what John's aiming at, do you think that there's sabotage there?
I don't think so, but who knows? There's in the military forces, there's always worry about sabotage. But there's also a lot of pressure. I have a son who is was in the 18 squadron from Davis-Monthan, that particular squadron that lost the aircraft. There's a lot of pressure on them. There's a lot of hours, and there's a lot of hours flown on those aircraft. You miss one little thing in our aircraft today. You know, these are pretty sophisticated. You leave one tool on board, you could have a problem, a flight control problem. So it's hard to say what it is.
What about Zapata Oil Company?
The Bush-owned companies? They're there, both Zapata and Harkin Oil, where there's a direct Bush involvement. I know Zapata Oil, you know, I believe the Zapata group of companies was purchased by Malcolm Glazier of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a few years back. Just so John understands that I don't think Zapata is in control by Bush any longer.
I heard that also.
So
at one time there were 11... Let me see, 11 super tankers bringing 15 million barrels of oil a day in from the Middle East, and Zapata owns 5 of the 11, I believe. And, of course, in order to bring have a law of supply and demand, a market, right, for the 15 million barrels coming in from the Middle East, what did we do in this country? We downsized independent oil producers and made room for the oil coming from the Middle East. There has to be some, in my opinion, collusion there.
And there was also collusion through a man named, his name was Nana Dibuzia, the House of Dibuzia out of an African nation, Guyana. And Mr. Dibuzia, in college, met one of the princes, Arabian princes, and they formed this corporation called Petroleum Transport Corporation, PTC, which was used to facilitate laundering of money, because by the CIA and by other sources, including Bush and North, they had to move large sums of money without question, and they moved it through 6 different banks around the world, including the Vatican Bank. So, you know,
well, now
quite intriguing when you get into everything that went on.
I had a CIA agent tell me that they were bringing drugs in these tankers when the Bush family owned them.
And it's very easy to do. You know, you can suspend in refined petroleum, you can suspend cocaine products in it, and then pull it out when it gets to its destination, and you know, no one looks.
Right, right. Okay, Chip, we're going to go back to. I don't think we have much time. We just have a few seconds, but we'll come back and discuss some of these other matters in just a few minutes. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report, folks. No question about it. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, before we get back to you, folks, I need help getting these letters out to the ex-FBI agents. They're 7,000 plus. We're up to $970 right now. We've been able to put together that much money. We need about 4,000. I want to send examples out case by case. I'm going to use some of Chip Tatum's information in a summary. And we've got to alert some of these ex-agents as to what's going on. They have no idea what's going on. They're out playing golf, which is fine. But at the same time, we need to all work together to try to restore and to bring our country back from the depths of hell, which is what we're heading for right at this very moment. So send your contribution to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. That's 89109, 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. And on the break, I was asked by the studio for the number for the Chip Tatum Chronicles, and that's 800-201-7892, extension 58. We're expecting a call momentarily from Linda Sanders in on the Oklahoma City trial in Denver, Colorado. So when she comes in, let us know, will you please, studio? In the meantime, Chip, there's a lot of loose ends we have to cover here. You were charged with treason. What was the specific charge?
That was it. It was just a blanket charge of treason.
What did you do?
No charge ever came out of it. It was nothing more than a threat, an attempt to intimidate me into giving them what they wanted. I knew that.
But you were arrested and everything. They had a hearing before the judge. What did they say you did?
You don't have to have a hearing to be arrested. You can be arrested. You're an FBI guy.
No. I mean after your arrest.
Well, they had to file what's called an information. They filed an information stating that I'm being held. At that point, they filed the information stating that I was being held for failing to disclose information to a federal officer. And that just kind of...
That's treason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did you go before...
That's how vague the information that was filed was. I just failed to disclose information to a federal officer.
Well, did they have a hearing? Did they just file papers to the court and not have you present, or...
No, they had a hearing, and when we went to the hearing, they continued it. The judge continued it for 2 weeks because the prosecution wasn't ready. And we came back in, and they continued it for another 2 weeks, and they said, we want to move this to Florida. That was in Colorado. So then they moved it to Florida. By the time it was all done, it was 6 months later.
Well, were you in jail all that time?
Every bit of it.
I mean, they didn't provide bail for you or anything?
They said that because I had recently left the country and because my government passport now had shown that I was able to move from country to country with my government passport, I was a flight risk.
Well, now, at what stage did they come after your wife, then?
They came after I got to Tampa, and I agreed with them, okay, what I'm going to do is you guys get rid of this treason charge. I'll plead to something to discredit myself. And that's where my attorneys and the government's attorneys were, and they said that the agreement was made that I would plead guilty to a felony, and then I would be no longer credible in a court of law, and those documents, you know, if I brought them forward, they probably wouldn't be very credible because I'm not a credible guy. Well, soon as I went into the courtroom to do this, word had been leaked to me from a good friend that they were going to charge my wife the minute I signed the plea agreement. So as we were in front of the judge, I found that out, that the intentions were to file that afternoon an information and charge my wife with something, and that's when I said, let's dance, boys. We're not going anywhere.
Now, what happened to you?
They ended up charging myself and my wife. They brought a man in from Virginia, from the Langley area,
yeah.
Who was Oliver North's campaign manager, one of Oliver North's campaign manager, retired lieutenant colonel for the United States Marine Corps, good friend of Ollie North's.
Name?
Bill Lusinger. And Mr. Lusinger said that made the statement to the U.S. Attorney's Office to file the information that... I had ownership in a company with him, and we didn't disclose that ownership in an FDIC contract.
And did you?
No.
It's all a lie?
Yeah.
So then what happened?
Well, then we were put on trial, and 2 weeks before trial started, my attorney and my wife's attorney were approached by a Defense Intelligence Agency man in a bar as they were having a drink and told this: if you provide a defense for Mr. and Mrs. Tatum, you will never work again. When the trial, the prosecution put their side on with only two or three witnesses, but the prime witness being Mr. Lusinger, North's buddy. When it came to the defense's position to call the 80 witnesses we had on a list to call, the defense stood, my attorney stood, and rested.
And?
Nancy's attorney stood and rested.
They convict you?
You bet. Without a defense.
Right, and you were convicted, and then what? How'd
I was
you get
convicted,
out?
I was convicted, and I was sentenced to two consecutive sessions to equal 44 months in prison. I'd spent just under 2 years before the appeals court released me April 4th of this year. They said that there's a substantial question in this conviction, what's going on here, and we haven't even filed the appeal with them yet. They just got word of what went on, and they said, you can't do this, guys. Let's do this over.
You mean we have somebody at the appellate level that's honest?
You bet. That's the only
goodness.
Level I think that we have honest people at is the appellate level.
I think that
they're pretty well beyond reproach at that level, from what I see.
Well, give them enough time, they'll stack that level, too.
Well, maybe that level was already stacked when they were at the district level and graduated, but once they get to the appellate level, I think they're feeling a little more bulletproof. and more willing to work with the Constitution.
And what district was this? Ninth?
11th.
11th district out of the East Coast, then, right?
Atlanta, Georgia. Uh-huh.
Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. How many are there? Are three judges on that, aren't there?
There are three judges that impanel that. There are several judges there, but only three impanel for it for an appeal.
And is the government going to appeal that?
The government did. The government, when they made their decision, the government came back and said, "Hey, you can't do this. We object. He's a flight risk." And I was being held in a camp at the time with no fence. And they looked at him and said, "What do you mean he's a flight risk? That guy, there's an airport right across the street. He can leave now."
But the conviction for your wife is included in yours?
It was included in mine, and our attorneys are getting ready to file the appeals on that now.
What about these attorneys? Have they said anything to them about you'll never work again?
Well, they made that statement in front of my wife, in front of my family, and in front of a newspaper reporter from the Tampa Tribune. So I have that reporter getting ready to sign a declaration for me.
I know, but I mean, these new attorneys that you have on the appeal, have they been threatened also?
They're good. No, they don't. No.
They're not worried about it, huh?
Not a bit.
Well, where do you find those attorneys? We need them in our cause. Tell them I want to put them on the show. I get them more business so they can shake a stick at. So what's the status right now? It's under appeal. The government has filed motions. Is it going to go higher than the appellate level?
I have no idea. I know it's under appeal at this point. They're waiting on a briefing schedule to file the appeal now.
And in the meantime, you're putting the story out.
I'm just out. That's right.
You're just out. They never should have messed with you, Chip Tatum. They never should have touched you.
That's what my mother says.
Well, I'm proud of you. We're going to have just a few minutes, folks. We're going to need another break after we come back. I got some other questions I want to run by you, Chip. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. To Wake Up, America. Wake up. Wake up.
Eric Cederstrom from the Patriot Trading Group. The views expressed on this show are those of the persons on the air only, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or advertisers.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, anything more you want to mention on your case, the status of it, your attorneys, or anything?
Well, I don't think so, and because it's under appeal, I know my attorney kind of wants to put tape over my mouth every time I open my mouth.
You want to identify your attorney, or you want to...
I'll keep him quiet. No use in pushing it out there for...
Is he a local attorney there in Florida?
He's a local attorney here, that's correct.
Oh, that's great. Well, there's another John DeCamp, I'm sure. John DeCamp is the same way. He's not backing down from these people, and he and I have been leading the fight in the Midwest in a similar situation. Now, you left in 1992, you were told to turn over all the documents, and if you turned those over, you'd probably be dead today, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't be speaking to anyone today, that's correct.
Yeah. You gave these to Colby as your insurance policy. Colby went, you said, to the President of the United States, to Bush?
That's where my boss was, of the OSGs, that's correct.
And what was Bush's reaction, according to Colby?
He went berserk.
Uh-huh.
He said he went berserk. He went off the deep end.
Uh-huh.
Rumor was that he was on Prozac at the time, to be honest, that the weight of everything that he had ordered through the years was weighing heavy on his shoulders, and he was in deep depressions, and I believe that.
Well, I would think so. I mean, you mentioned he even ordered assassinations. Now, you have first-hand knowledge of this?
Sure. When we were ordered to do it on the intelligence side, we wouldn't do it unless we had signed orders, you know.
And Bush actually signed these documents?
He signed the documents for us. We wanted exemption from prosecution under Rule 12.3, stating that we were working for U.S. intelligence or U.S. law enforcement in providing these. Whether there was a congressional finding or not was up to the president to deal with if something went wrong on the mission.
Why not? Do you have a copy of these documents?
Yes, I do.
Well, why don't you take them to some authorities and have a... warrant we issued for his arrest for conspiracy to commit murder.
Because I like to eat.
In other words, if you did
because
that...
I don't think they'll do a thing with it at this point, that's why.
They won't do anything with it.
Not at all. They have documents right here, you know, in the Tatum Chronicles that are irrefutable, and the Attorney General has that. Who am I going to take it to, Ted?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem you run into. Who is big enough to do anything to these people? No one.
Well, you certainly can't take them to Bill Clinton.
No, that's right.
And you can't take them to the U.S. Department of Justice.
That's correct.
You can't take them to the FBI. I've taken outright violations of federal crime to the FBI, and they totally ignored me. They won't even come out and interview me.
And I have people come on the air on other shows that I do all the time, Ted, and say, bring them to the American people. We'll do something about it. Well, no, you won't, American people. There are a few of you who will, but not enough.
Well, what do we do, Jeff? What's the answer to that question?
It's a matter of timing. I've always dealt with the matter of timing. When the timing is correct, when the education level of the American people, and when they're at a point that they'll accept and do something about this, then it's time to do it. But until then, we have to spoon-feed the American people and bring them around slowly. And I think that that people are starting to listen to shortwave shows, to AM radio talk shows now, more and more because they're being spoon-fed. People turn off the national news on television at night now because they know they're not getting the truth.
I don't even watch it.
That's right.
I don't even watch it.
My father-in-law was the chief of chaplains for the United States Air Force. He's absolutely disgusted at the evening news. Won't turn him on any longer.
Well, look what happened to Bill Colby. Do you have any information about his death?
No, unfortunately, I was in prison at the time. I'd written him a letter about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of those happenings, and I'm getting ready to put that letter that was written to him on the web so people can see, you know, where we were at, where he and I were at, you know, as far as... He was a good, trusted friend.
Well, he's a very, very close friend of John DeCamp's also. Have you ever met John?
I never have.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to send John a copy of these tapes, by the way.
Oh, that's good. John's a good man.
Oh, he's one of the best. He's been discredited himself. Beg your pardon?
A true American.
Oh, yes, definitely a true American. So what about the papers that you gave to Colby, who passed them on to Bush? Do you have any idea what happened to those documents?
It was a videotape. We had taken all of the documents and put them, you know, how you can take them down and have them put on tape. All of your birth certificates and everything, your marriage certificates, all that.
Right.
Well, we used that in a little different aspect. We put all these documents on it.
Oh, very good. Very good. And you got copies of that videotape well concealed.
Placed in 6 different places with very trusted people around the world, yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, I like the way you've covered yourself there, Chip. Like you say, you were a good student in training class, right?
That's right. Had a very good teacher with Mr. Colby.
Yes. Chip, what about these other countries have to know? I mean, you know how effective the other intelligence agencies are for our foreign friends. They have to know about this. And what are they doing about it? Anything?
Well, yeah, I think they are. I think Dutch intelligence is heavily involved in things right now, and that is evident from the Dutch TV interview I did. And they're mad. You know, the Prime Minister of Sweden was murdered in an assassination in 1986. Why was he killed? And I think they're finding out now why he was killed. And it runs right back to Mr. Oliver North.
Yeah, and that's one of the topics I want to discuss eventually. I think we don't have time to discuss it here now because we're running out of time. When Clinton went into Mexico recently and met with the president and all the dignitaries, I had some contacts in Mexico, and I made sure that the Mexican government was aware of Clinton's involvement in the drug operation up here. Nothing was ever said about it. Well, you know, I put you in touch with that reporter in Tijuana, and he never even returned the phone call.
That's right.
So my mother used to say she was born and raised on a ranch in western Nebraska. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink.
Well, you know, if they find out the truth, they feel that they're bound to do something about it, and they don't want the problems that are associated with that. Look at poor Gary Webb right now. He's paranoid. He's, you know, afraid at every turn that someone's going to try to off him.
Well, his best insurance policy is, like yours, is to take those documents and stash them.
And he has additional documentation now, too. So I think he has some very good documents there. Something that would make another big splash. However, the American people won't get behind him right now, so why do it?
Well, let me ask you this. How about his editor? Does he have those documents? I assume he does.
His editor has seen those documents also, yes.
Have you talked to Gary Webb?
I haven't. I talked to someone who has been in contact with him yesterday, another senior editor of another newspaper.
Okay, be right back, folks. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. Time for quick break. Wake up, America. Wake up.
And now, here's Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, we have about 4 more minutes. Is there anything you'd like to cover other than your address and phone number? His address, by the way. Well, let's give him your phone number. 800-201-7892, extension 58 for a copy of the Tatum Chronicles. And the Clinton Chronicles, by the way, are available through me, folks, if you want to you want to call 702-650-5676. By the way, I need to mention that the old number I've been giving out, 702-876-5208, is no longer working. The new number to contact me is 702-650-5676. Or you can also contact it through the station, American Freedom Network. Chip, you got some closing comments you'd like to make?
Just that, folks, you need to listen to Ted. He has a lot of wonderful programs going on, especially with his program to involve ex-agents and active agents around the world and being able to come forward. Support him in this because it's very important for all of America.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical that we get the word out. I think it's happening. Folks, we're going to have a series of six shows starting today, and these six shows will be available to you by calling 800-205-6245. $49.95, and we've already had six shows, $49.95. For those six shows, this will be another one. It's $120 value for each. By the way, I mentioned on the first hour that I had given the series of the first six shows to Bill Denemeyer, former congressman from California. He was defeated here, I think, two elections ago. And the reason I sent them to him, Chip, is because on those tapes that we did before, the shows we did before this one, you mentioned Henry Hyde was involved in keeping track of all the black ops and the illegal activity, the CIA. He was kind of the bookkeeper, I guess, according to what you said. And I heard Bill Denemeyer give a speech once, and he made a statement that one of his best friends was Henry Hyde. And I know that Bill Denemeyer is not involved in this. So that's just a little something that we can do. And if you have any other friends or any other congressman you think should receive these tapes, let's get them out to them. And you know something else, Chip? I'd like to put out an appeal to somebody to get these tapes and transcribe them. It'd be nice if we could put them out in type form and get the word out. I mentioned that to you earlier, Chip, that we were going to try to have them transcribed, and I just don't have anybody that can do it. So if anybody's out there who would be willing to take on that task on behalf of your country to help get the word out, would you call me, give me a call, and we'll work something out on that.
I think there's even computer programs where if you put it on CD, it would play off of the CD and transcribe automatically. Maybe someone out there has that capability.
Right, right. Chip, in closing, I'd like to mention that, you know, I have a checkoff list here. We haven't even covered half the subjects I want to ask you about, so if we have to go another six shows after these six shows, we will, but some of the areas I want to mention and ask you about are satanic worship. I want to talk to you about the Kennedy assassination, and we've already, you know, covered Clinton and Bush pretty well. I want to talk to you more about Kissinger and Buck Ravel. He's the ex-FBI liaison with Ollie North. And more about the Pegasus Group, which was a secret society within a secret society, and they were actually the assassins, right, Chip?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to you about Oklahoma City and McVeigh. So, and also, after Red Rock and the rescue, what kind of assignments did you have after that, other than the fact that you were captured and had to work your way out of that one, too? And DEA's involvement in this, and the Prime Minister's death in Sweden, and so on and so forth. So, you know, you might keep all those matters in mind as we go along. Those are topics we will discuss in the future. Thanks for appearing on the show. We'll see you tomorrow, Chip.
Okay, thank you, Ted.
Thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. Our address is the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, zip 89114.
Take a look. Take a listen. It's the...
Good people out there across this great land of ours, the United States of America. It's great to be alive, folks. We've got to keep it free and keep it free. We will. With people like Chip Tatum, who's going to be our guest today, hopefully. We are having some difficulty getting a hold of him. I'm just wondering what's happening to his telephone, but we'll find out.
He's available.
It says, as we go along, is he there? Hello?
Yes.
Chip on the air?
Yes, Chip Tatum.
Okay, Chip. Oh, okay. I was just trying to figure out whether I should drag this on, this opening on, or if I should go ahead and introduce Chip. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry for the delay. I was on the phone with British Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, you want to go back and come back to us in a little while?
Nope, I'm done.
Are you? Okay. I was going to say I can drag this introduction out a little way.
They're getting ready to do a big article and an expose on what the real truth is.
Oh, that's fabulous, Chip. Well, I'm glad that we can be a part of it. Anyway, folks, we have back
by popular demand, Chip Tatum. And I'm sure you're familiar with the six shows we've already done. And we are going to do another six shows with Chip. And we're going to offer these next six shows for the same price, $49.95, for an audio copy. Now, the last show that we ran, which was, as I said, six shows, was a total of 11 hours, I think it was, Chip, because we had a 1 hour in there when on one of the shows where we just had another guest on an emergency. But anyway, the last show we ran was received very well. You'd need to obtain copies of these shows and make copies and send them out all over the United States, folks. And by the way, I think I can get you a good deal on copying these shows. First of all, they have some right out of the American Freedom Network. And then order them from the American Freedom Network, $49.95 for all six of the next shows, plus you ought to order for the last six shows. And I'm trying to work out a deal where you can get a real good price for making copies. I had a call today from a gentleman on the East Coast, Jeff, and a friend of his in Colorado sent him the last series of shows that you and I did, and he's making 40 copies to distribute around the United States. 40 copies of the show.
Boy, isn't that great.
Isn't that great? And that's what this show's all about, folks. Education, education, education. Get the word out. And I don't care what we do, we absolutely have to hang in there. We have to educate each other, educate those who don't think there is a problem, and keep fighting. I mean, that is critical. To not give up under any circumstances. Anyway, I was about to introduce you, Chip, and I was about to say welcome to the show, all you folks across the United States, and I'm going to say it again. You know, I've been saying on my introduction, good morning to all you folks in the great United States of America, and coast to coast, Atlantic to the Pacific, but I've left out our friends in Alaska and Hawaii and also our friends in Puerto Rico. And so welcome all of you to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Chip, how's it been?
I've been wonderful, Ted. Thank you.
Tell us what you've been doing.
Well, we finally got our website up. That's been all encompassing for a computer and illiterate person. I shouldn't say computer illiterate. It's just times have changed in the past couple of years when they kept me down.
The
photos are starting to go on this afternoon.
Yeah, well, you want to give us your website number?
Sure, it's all small case, HTTP.
HTTP.
Colon.
Colon.
Slash.
Slash.
Members.
M-E-M-B-E-R-S.
That's correct. Dot A-O-L.
A-O-L.
D-O-M.
D-O-M.
Another forward slash.
Okay.
And then my name all together in small, Chip Tatum, C-H-I-P-T-A-T-U-M.
Okay. Now, Chip, this caller from East Coast, he asked me if I could put together a list of names of people who could tie Bill Clinton directly into the MENA Arkansas drug operation or any other drug operation. Can you help with that?
Well, there are plenty out there. I think... roundabout way, you could probably have, well, not even roundabout, Terry Reed, most definitely.
I already gave him the name of Terry Reed, and had some other names also.
Sure, you know, I think there's a man coming out with a movie, a 1 or 2 hour special on public television. His name's Daniel Hopslicker. Hope you'll want to see that. It answers the questions with no questions left.
Well, wait, was that a 2 hour movie, you say?
It's a 2 hour documentary special that'll be aired, I think, in June, you said.
And where will it be aired?
I'll get more information on the network that's airing that.
And the announcement on this show.
Uh huh.
Okay, get that. Now, Chip's going to be with us, folks. I'm going to give you the dates right now. He's going to be with us today, the 28th. Tomorrow's the 29th. Friday, I have an emergency show coming in, lady, a life and death situation, Chip. So, we'll be off Friday. And then next week, he'll be on the 3rd. 4th, 5th, and 6th. And if we don't cover all the topics that I want to cover, we'll have you on another six shows, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, I made a little checklist, Chip, on the, prior to the last six shows, and I'm only halfway through. That's why we brought you back to another six shows, of course. But let's go back to this Hopslicker. Whenever he comes out with this information, you'll let us know. I can get that before we go off here on this series right now.
I certainly will.
And, you know, folks, this is a real hero, Chip Tatum. I don't want to embarrass you, Chip, but you really are Vietnam Special Forces Air Combat Controller. I'm just giving you a rundown on him right now for those of you who have not heard the show, the prior shows. 25-year CIA deep cover agent. U.S. Army pilot flying classified missions during the U.S. invasion of Grenada. Iran Contra pilot flying cocaine shipments labeled as medical supplies. A member of the ultra-secret international Pegasus hit team. This is the extraordinary story of Gene Kip Tatum, and I'm reading from the Nexus magazine, the April-May issue. Does the latest issue come out on that?
June issue's coming out right now.
Okay, be right back, folks. Ted Gunnar's intelligence report. No question about it. Wake up, America. Wake up.
To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, 1-303-654-9924. And now, back to Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Telling all, Chip, I start to say, you're my hero, my friend. I'll tell you what, to come forward like this is absolutely outstanding. And they should have learned a lesson not to mess with your wife, Nancy, isn't that right?
Had they left her out of it, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
Well, sometimes they make mistakes, and this is probably the biggest mistake they've made in a long, long time. By the way, Kip, I had a surveillance on me in my house here about 3 nights ago, and I find it very interesting because I saw a bunch of little red dots out there, two little red dots out there. What does that mean? I know what it means. You want to tell the audience what it means?
You mean their infrared aiming devices?
Yes.
I don't know what that means, Chip. You need to call Guardian Technologies. That's public now, I believe, and it's owned by Mr. Fernandez and Mr. Ollie North, and you know, they'll supply you a nice bulletproof vest.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it wasn't one of those rifles that has that red dot in it. But it was, I figured, infrared, because I went out in the yard, and I saw it. I spotted them. I actually saw them out in the yard. They made a mistake, made themselves visible. And I was in the yard, actually in the yard of the dark, and I was looking. Well, when I go out, I always look around all directions, and I have to spot somebody quite a ways away. And then I went on around, and approached them, and I saw two dots in the bushes there. And I went up to the bushes, didn't go in too far, because they didn't have weapons. But anyway, I had a radio show yesterday on the missing children, and the government's not involved in even trying to locate the kids. In fact, they're just the opposite. Finders out of Washington D.C. is actively involved in kidnapping the children. And so I made the comment yesterday on the show that, you know, why, instead of running surveillance on me, why aren't you out looking?
Well, you understand what the surveillance is. The surveillance, and especially plain view surveillance, is a tactic of intimidation.
Well,
they're just trying to discourage you from going forward.
Jeff, do you think that they have intimidated me?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's why it's so foolish. Anyway, Jeff, let's get back to you. These six shows that we had before, we covered a lot of ground. We covered the downfall of communism, Chinese communists, POWs, MI training. Talked a little about the FBI, their activities while in prison, and Ollie North and his arrest, your arrest, that is, and Mossad, and the list goes on and on and on. But there's one area that I would like to bring up today, and we have about halfway through my checkoff list, and that is this Bill Clinton in Arkansas and other direct ties into the drug operations. And the reason I bring that up today is because my friend, a gentleman from the East Coast, called and asked specifically about that. What can you tell us about it?
Well, Ted, you know, as far as Mena, Arkansas goes, I really don't have much information. I was in Mena, Arkansas on two occasions, both night flights. I was a special operations pilot out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Our medevac unit at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the 324th Med, was the supporting element in Honduras at the time. This is 1983 and 1984. The supporting element of the 324th Med had medevac helicopters in Honduras, like I said. They were flying the same type of medical coolers that I was, and they were placing those on C-130s. And some of those coolers, marked medical supplies, showed up in 84 at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. As a member of 160th Aviation Battalion, he had unlimited flight hours, and we were always flying night flights across country. So he normally would carry, you know, if there was any cargo or anything to be delivered to another airport. If we could do a training flight to that area, 324th would ask us to do that. And so we did that. I did two night missions.
into, I think it was the Intermountain Regional Airport was the name of it. Did two night missions into that airport and just dropped coolers off, just left them at the doors of a hangar.
Well, you mentioned on one of the shows previously about having delivered, was it 5 kilos? No, oh, wasn't that?
Well, there was one occasion that I delivered. Well, we delivered about 8 times in total to the Arkansas area, but the other times were to Little Rock Air Force Base.
That was it. That's what you mentioned when you actually saw Clinton.
That's correct.
And do you have any documentation on him at that particular...
Part of my insurance policy that keeps me walking and talking today is a video of that, yes.
Okay. Okay, and that's good. So you're not going to pull that out right away, then, huh?
Not right away, you know. We'll see. Maybe some skills will start showing up in the future.
Okay.
I'm not going to discount that. They very well may come forward.
Well, let's see what happens down the road. And, you know, I picked up on that and asked you about it earlier. And I was told that that was the case. Do you have any other than that Little Rock, Arkansas flight, do you have anything that would directly tie Clinton into the drug operation?
Well, you know, we do have a tape recording that was presented at our CIPA briefing, the Classified Information Procedures Act briefing in federal court in Tampa, Florida in 1996. The transcription of that tape is in the Tatum Chronicles. The original tape is in the hands of a federal judge right now.
Would you want to explain that to us?
Sure. We were... I was in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And let me pull up the date for you real quick. It was on the 15th of March. I can read to you exactly what happened if you want to hear it.
Okay. I think we're getting ready to go into a break. Let's come right back after the break and we'll go with that. Time for a quick one, Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Wake up, America, wake up.
And now, here's Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Chan, 25-year CIA chief cover agent. Chip, you were starting to read some of your documents there.
Sure, Ted. On the 15th of March, we were talking about
what year
involvement of the president.
15th of March, what year?
1985.
85, okay, go ahead.
There was a pre-vice presidential visit meeting, a planning meeting on that date at the embassy in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. A few of the people attending that just called me aside and met with me. Were Mr. William Barr, who represented the vice president himself, who would later become the attorney general under that vice president when he became president. Mike Harari with the Mossad, representing the interests of General Noriega, and a man named Buddy Young, an Arkansas National Guard officer, dressed as an Arkansas National Guard officer, but I'd known Buddy years before as the governor of Arkansas, his security chief. We met that evening. The following morning, it was my job to fly Mr. Harari and Mr. Young on an orientation flight. And, while they were in the back, they were on what's called our privacy intercom. However, we had hooked up a tape recorder on the privacy intercom. After finding cocaine on our aircraft on the 26th of February 1985, we decided to start documenting everything that was going on. We did that on the back of the flight plans, on the back of medic briefs, mission briefs, and by recording things that went on. 5 people that we knew were directly involved. Here's a conversation, folks. You can take it for what it's worth and decide for yourself. Whether Mr. Clinton, our great vice president, or our great president, had any knowledge as the governor of Arkansas of cocaine trafficking. Buddy Young stated, Arkansas has the capability to manufacture anything in the area of weapons, and if we don't have it, we'll get it. Mike Ferrari of the Mossad answered, how about government control? Buddy Young answered, the governor's on top of it, and if the feds get nosy, we hear about it and make it call. Then they're called off. He was looking around the countryside and continued, why the hell would anyone want to fight for a F-pole like this? Speaking of the country of Honduras, Honduras was a very, very poor country, folks. Ferrari was shaking his head. What we do has nothing to do with preserving a country's integrity. This is in the thought officer speaking. It's just business. The third world countries see their destiny as defeating borders and expanding. The more of this mentality we can produce, the greater our wealth. We train and we arm. That's our job. And in return, you get a product far more valuable than the money for a gun. We're paid with product, and we credit top dollar for that product. Buddy Young answered, still looking confused. It was unintelligible. Look, like Ferrari said, one gun and 3,000 rounds of ammo is $1,200. A kilo of product, speaking of cocaine, is about $1,000. We credit the Contras $1,500 for every kilo. That's top dollar for a kilo of cocaine. It's equivalent to the American Kmart special, buy four, get one free. On our side, we spend $1,200 for a kilo and sell it for $12,000 to $15,000. Now that's a great profit center, and the market is much greater for the product than for weapons. It's just good business then, understand? Study young. And so you guys promote wars and revolutions to provide weapons for drugs. We provide the non-numbered parts to change out, and we all win. That's good, like Ferrari. It's good when it works, but someone is, how do you say, has his hand in the coffin. Buddy, responding on the defensive. Well, we get our 10% right off the top, and that's plenty. Goofus, speaking as governor of the United States, a play on the POTUS, can make it go a long way. Mike Ferrari said, who's Goofus?
He was talking about Clinton there, right?
Right. He said, who's Goofus? And Buddy Young said, Governor Clinton. That's our pet word for him. You know, they call the president POTUS the president of the United States. Well, we called Clinton Goofus for governor of the United States. He thinks he is, anyhow. Mike Ferrari. That's your problem in America. You have no respect for your elected officials. They are more powerful than you think and have ears everywhere. You should heed my words and be loyal to your leaders, especially when speaking to persons like me. Your remarks indicate a weakness, something our intelligence analysts look for. Buddy. Oh, heck, Mike, everyone knows the Clintons want the White House and will do anything to get it. That's why I'm here instead of someone else. You know about the cocaine. I picked it up before with Lasker when he was worried about going on Little Rock Air Force Base to get it. New line of conversation ensued following that. This was redacted out of it. Buddy Young. Clinton thinks he's in charge, but he'll only go as far as Casey allows. He and my staff, we keep the lid on things, you know, complaints about night flying, Arkansas people with private folks. They don't like a lot of commotion, and Mina just isn't the right place for the operation. He keeps us busy at the shredder, if you know what I mean. Dan the man, speaking of Lasseter, he does magic with money. Between him and Jack Stevens, we don't have to worry a bit. It is.
Okay, be right back, folks. Jack Gunner's intelligence report. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25 years, veteran CIA chief cover agent. You're there, Chip, right?
I'm here, sir.
Was that the end of the conversation?
There was a little bit more at the end. Do you want to hear that one?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Turn back to that page.
We don't want to miss any point at all.
Steele and his guys, I like his attitude. And in continuing on what Buddy was saying as he was going down the list of people, talked about Barry Steele. Steele and his guys, I like his attitude. And leave the driving to us, he said, quoting one of Steele's good old boys saying.
Who's talking now?
Pardon me?
Who's talking now?
That's Buddy Young.
Okay.
He's the security chief for then-Governor Clinton.
Right.
Mike Ferrari. Do you like Steele? Buddy. Heck, he's the only one I trust. Respect is the word. Mike, do you see much of him? Buddy. Heck, yeah. We test drive Clinton's rides before we send him on. You know, he laughed, grinding his lips. Say, how much coke do you reckon you could make in a week? Mike, one camp can produce 400 keys a week. The others are about half that. But that's just our operation here. We have other sources various parts of the world. Why do you ask? What? Oh, the governor wanted to know our capacity. Not your capacity, but our capacity. Mike, who else is on the team? Well, I forgot who I told you about. And Mike had ran down the list from memory. Okay, here's the manufacturers. These two. And the tape stopped. At that point, I remember him saying something like Johnson & Johnson, but I think that was probably Iverson.
Tape stopped. What happened? To run out?
Right.
Oh, boy. Too bad.
Yeah.
Well, the next time you set up a 60 minutes, they had to put 120 minutes in there, I guess.
Well, it was one of those little things that, you know, we had to keep it concealed right up front, like I said.
Right, right. Okay.
Helicopters aren't that, there aren't a lot of hiding places.
Right, right. In that conversation before the last break, you said Casey allows, meaning Bill Casey, CIA?
That's correct.
So we have the CIA in there.
Pardon me?
So of course, it's third hand, the second hand, I should say. But it indicates that back in 1985, CIA was involved in this.
That's what it indicates.
Yeah.
And a case
or
the
at least
CIA
upper, or at least
about.
Upper management.
Beg your pardon?
Or at least upper management.
Upper management, that's right. Okay, well, that's interesting. Anything more as far as Clinton is concerned?
No, that's just about all I have.
Okay.
I mean, in my only involvement, he was governor at the time. Then he was, when I left the group, he was getting ready to run for president.
Okay, and so why don't we get together? Why don't you make up a list, Chip, of people that can help in regard to Bill Clinton and his possible direct knowledge of the drug operation, and back that to me, and then I'll make some other contacts of my own.
I will, and there are a great number of people. Just after opening my website, I've received a lot of confirmation. Other people who have been afraid to come forward. It's a great platform because there's complete anonymity offered there for people to come forward out of the special operations and covert operations arena, or just plain folks on the street who've been harmed or who have direct knowledge or information.
Okay, let's make that available to our friend on the East Coast. He's going to do something about it. Assured me of that. Let's go over to George Bush and Jeb Bush. We had Darlene Novinger on the show here some time ago, and Darlene was an informant for the FBI, a high-level informant. She ended up going down to Florida, down into Central South America. Do you know Darlene, by the way?
I've been on a radio program with her one time. That's my only.
Okay. And she said that she was in Miami, and she was engaged in she was in an office, a particular office there, and was talking to an individual, and he mentioned that George Bush and Jeb Bush were involved in drug operations. And she wrote up her report. She was working for the FBI and CIA, I guess. One or the other, I'm not sure, at that particular time. And her life's never been the same since. What do you have and what do you know about George, Jeb, and whoever else is involved in Bush family?
Well, I think it's very reasonable to assume that all of these players that we have working under the direct instruction of the Vice President of the United States, George Bush. So, therefore, it's reasonable to understand that George Bush had direct knowledge of what was going on, if not a direct hand in controlling what was going on. I can read an excerpt out of a flight plan on the 30th of March of 1985. We landed at Santa Ana and met Santa Ana, Honduras, and met with Enrique Bermudez and other kinds of visitors. And there we were taken to a processing area of some sort. As we approached that processing area, there was a very strong smell of acetone and jet fuel. There were several large tactical bladders, 200-gallon bladders, that were used for carrying fuel and so forth, sitting around the area. Six large fuel pods, large metal fuel pods, had the tops cut off. They were sitting on the ground, and there was fuel in some, acetone in others, and ground-up leaves or pods of green ground-up stuff sitting in it. Mr. North stated the following: one more year of this, and we'll all retire. Then made a remark concerning Barry Seal and Governor Clinton. If we could keep those Arkansas hicks in line, that is, referring to the loss of money as determined a week prior during their meeting in Costa Rica. I stood silently by the vat of leaves, listening. General Alvarez, who was the Honduran Army Chief of Staff, had gone with the Contra leader, Enrique Bermudez, to discuss logistics. The other three, Oliver North, Felix Rodriguez, and Amiram Nir, continued through the wooden building, inspecting the cocaine. North continued, but he, speaking of Vice President Bush, very concerned about those missing monies. I think he's going to have Jeb, speaking of his son Jeb Bush, arrange something out of Columbia. He told his comrades, not thinking twice of my presence. Arranging something out of Columbia meant they were working heavily with the Medellin cartel and supplying paste into these Contra camps. Their contact there was a man named, Navarro, Ramon Navarro. Navarro would be the contact back in. And I know that Vice President's son, Jeb Bush, made many trips into Columbia to the offices of his business interests. I think he's going to have Jeb Bush arrange something out of Columbia, he told him. Jeb arranged something out of Columbia, he told his comrades, not thinking twice of my presence. What Mr. North was referring to ended up being the assassination of Barry Seal, members of the Medellin cartel in 1986. How about pineapple, Rodriguez asked. North answered, something's up there. In other words, Rodriguez wanted to know why pineapple didn't take care. The general didn't take care of Mr. Seal. The general was great at doing the dirty work for this group that I call the Olympic cartel. I recall the mysterious army officer's remark to Ojo de Agua: tell no one, there's no one big enough in your chain of command. I just heard North tell Rodriguez, the vice president, the governor of Arkansas, and the three of them are manufacturing cocaine. Back to Lucifer, and I continue back to tell us time for drinks downtown with my crew and friends. We returned the following day to Pomerola. I went to operations and wrote the notes on the back of his bed.
That's it. They talk about lots of money, meaning Barry Seale dipped down into the till.
Yeah, apparently Barry Seale, Harari, General Noriega, Clinton, Ambassador, the whole group in that lake going to Arkansas was dipping into it.
And they were going to teach him all a lesson. Well, Bill Clinton survived, but Barry Seale didn't do so well.
Barry didn't do well at all.
And from what you said there, Jeb Bush was the one that arranged the hit on him. Be right back, folks. Wake up, America! Wake up! Time to wake up! And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year veteran CIA deep cover agent. And before we go back to Chip, I just want to mention now we're going to do a series of six shows. We want to get the tape for these six shows, $49.95. Call 1-800-205-6245. That'll be $49.95 for six more shows. We just finished six shows. If you want us to back order the other six shows, you can do the same thing. Call 800-205-6245. Back to you, Chip. We're talking about contract killings by the son of the Vice President of the United States and the former head of the CIA.
That's correct, and these were documented on these flight plans in 1985, years before anyone ever heard of the activities of these people in through congressional investigation.
We were talking about Ollie North, who ran for the U.S. Senate in Virginia and almost made it. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. But this is corruption at the very, very highest level. We're talking about contract killing drugs. It's unbelievable. But
we're also talking about William Weld.
Right.
He's found in these documents also. And they're available, folks. You can get them and see for yourself. They're black and white. There's no way to contest these.
Give me your number. How do people get a hold of you?
They can get the Tatum Chronicles at 1-800-201-7892, edition 58. 800-201-7892, edition 58.
And how are people ordering them regularly?
Oh, yeah. We're running through about 50 a week.
Oh, great. Edition 58, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's 800-201. 7892, extension 58. Okay, folks, order those without fail. And also, folks, I need help. Chip, I'm in the process of writing to all the ex-FBI agents. There's a lot of good men out there that don't know what's going on. I need your help, folks, to get this letter out. It's going to be more than a letter. I'm going to have case examples and pictures and details, and I need about $4,000. We're up to, by the way, Chip, $978 right now.
We're moving, but slow, huh?
But I need some more money, folks, so send your contribution to Ted Gunderson, P.O. Box 18,000, 259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109, and in the lower left-hand corner, put down FBI Project. We'll get these letters out. We'll wake up. If I can just wake up 1% of the 7,000-plus agents, that's 70 agents, I think we can get a pretty good new piece going. There's a lot of good men out there like you, Chip, that would come forward if they knew what was going on.
They sure would. You know, a lot of them are standing at the end of a gun pointed at them, too. You know, if they come forward, there's going to be trouble for them, whether it's through losing their job or not being able to support their family. You see what happens to whistleblowers, you know. A good example of that is the CIA agent who came forward to talk about the Guatemala problem.
Yeah, what happened to him? Tell us the story about it.
He was fired.
Well, another example is Richard Toss, the FBI agent.
Uh-huh.
On Long Island, New York.
In prison for practically life, I believe, isn't it?
Well, they got him for child molestation, which is obvious. I would have to say it's probably a trumped-up charge. For child molestation, he's serving 30 to 50 years. And he tried to come forward over... that was an Ollie North operation on Long Island, right? Covert operation, CIA?
That's right.
You know anything about that operation?
I don't. That was outside of my area of responsibility.
See what they do, folks. They'll take guys like Chip and these other individuals, they compartmentalize them. Now, Chip was fortunate in that he was a pilot, so he was exposed across the board in a number of instances. And fortunately for himself, he has a little life insurance policy there by these various devices that he used in the airplane and other means recording the conversation. Good work, Chip.
They raised me well, Ted.
You did well in training school, didn't you?
That's right.
Anything more on the bushes?
No, that's just about it on the documents that I have available.
Okay, you're talking about documentation now. Okay, Chip, let's talk about the Contras and the Sandinistas and so forth. What about that?
Well,
You know, we've heard a lot, and I think if people ever listen to Mr. North's radio addresses or he's not very willing to speak about things any longer. At first, when the controversy came out last year about the CIA's possible involvement with crack cocaine, he stated it's absurd, there's nothing like that going on. He challenged anyone to debate. Well, he's pulled back away from that. And part of what he was saying, and part of what the government has been standing on, is the fact that the Nicaraguan Sandinista government is the government that was producing the cocaine. Well, folks, the Sandinista government was backed by the Soviet Union, and, you know, the arms were free. They didn't pay for them. They didn't have to pay for these arms. They had Russian Soviet-built Heim helicopters and missiles. All they had to do was ask, and it was given to them. So they didn't need to produce this cocaine, because they weren't buying their arms anyhow. So that was key to us on board the aircraft when I was told that it was truth of the war. The Sandinistas were funding their war by selling this stuff. No way. The war was free for them.
Well, yes, and what about this South Central L.A. situation with the CIA? You know, they came out and said there's nothing to it. Deutsch went, made a trip to L.A., talked to the folks there. Did Ollie Marks make public appearances on that? And
he debated with talk show host out of Washington, Joe Madison, concerning it. I think the biggest revelation lately was the editor of the San Jose Mercury News coming forward and telling all of America that, well, maybe their homework wasn't done properly, and maybe some of what they said wasn't correct, but then what the rest of the newspapers, the spin doctors across the country, came out and said was this editor redacted his story and said the CIA wasn't involved and didn't have knowledge of it. Well, that's not what he said. He just said that they should have done a little more homework and should have produced it in another way. And I know Gary Webb is dodging bullets right now. He's paranoid. I was in an interview yesterday with someone who's in contact with an editor of another paper. And editors across the nation are absolutely torn because of the pressure that this editor of the San Jose Mercury News felt from the government because he dared print that story. He printed it because he knew that the American nation would come back and support him. And you know what? The Americans didn't hold him to a thing about it.
No, they did not.
That's right.
And I had the information that I passed on when that article appeared, where the editor retracted, but basically, according to the article I read, it was very cleverly worded. He said that the higher ups in the CIA were not aware of it, and of course, they took that and interpreted it any way they liked.
And that's the current higher ups, not
that's
the ones back then.
That's right. That's right. Time for a quick break, back, folks.
Are you tired of diet review or something that really works, or a breakthrough has been made? You can now lose body fat and keep your endurance, even without dieting and exercise. No, you're not dreaming, are you dreaming? You can now lose body fat and keep your endurance, even without exercise or dieting. There's high reverse plus. Happy 27.
And now, here's Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, backed by popular demand, 25-year CIA chief cover agent. By the way, Chip, I sent the six tapes from the last series to Bill Denemeyer, former congressman in Fullerton, California, and called him and told him about you. He seemed to be skeptical on the telephone, but I also gave you his name and address and phone number. Was there some follow-up on your part on that?
I have to say I haven't yet.
Okay.
But I intend to.
Okay, good. Back me up on that, because people are very skeptical about these things that you're saying and things that I'm saying. I've been saying them for years also, of course. But, Chip, we have about four more minutes. Let's repeat your address and how people can get a hold of you, and I'll repeat about these upcoming six shows we're going to have. Go ahead.
You bet. You can get the Chronicles, folks, the documents that have proved complicity on the government's part, direct involvement, I should say, at 1-800-201-7892. My website address is http://members.aol.com/ My name is Chip Tatum, all in one word.
And of course, folks, if you want to get a copy of all the next six shows, counting this show, dial 800-205-6245. Those of you who will not be able to pick up the second hour of this show, you better buy yourself a shortwave radio You can order that by dialing 800-205-6245. You can hear these shows, the second hour that is. And for a copy of each of the six shows, including this one that's coming up, $49.95, call 800-205-6245. Back to Ollie North's debate with Madison. What happened there? Radio commentator.
Well, I know Madison, in the end, Madison looked him square in the eye, and when Ollie said, do you think that I made any money off this? And Madison said, I think you have accounts offshore that are, you know, boiling over with illegal drug money. And Ollie looked at him and said, you promised not to talk about that.
I thought Ollie North was smarter than that. Well, how did Ollie North do? Did he put him down or not?
Well, the whole debate went around on Ollie's side, stating that he'd been the most interviewed man in the world and that he'd already made it through congressional hearings questioned about drug dealing, but he wasn't. That wasn't part of the scope of what was allowed to be looked in by the Tower and McCary group.
Well,
that was beyond their scope of investigation.
Yes. I reviewed the hearings by Harlan Specter. And it was a joke. I've said that many times on this show. Did you have a chance to look at those hearings?
I've looked at a few of them, yes. And the Kerry Commission hearings that were absolutely, you know. I mean, here, they're telling Kerry that you have people like Brennecke and so forth that came forward and told him exactly what was going on. And, you know, the Contras from the area, intelligence officers telling him. Swan Island was one of the prime areas that was used by... It's a CIA island. It's a communications island run by the CIA. And there's documented shrimp boats, lobster boats, and everything else going in there, dropping off and picking up cocaine.
Whole thing sickening.
Sure.
Well, we'll be back in for the second hour in just a few minutes, folks. Before we take the break, don't forget to order your tape, 800-205-6245, also your shortwave radio. And in just a matter of a few seconds, get any other comments you want to make, Tip?
I don't.
Okay, we'll be back in for another hour in just a few minutes, folks. That's Gunderson Intelligence Report. Wake up, America. Wake up.
You've been listening to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. Our address is the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, ZIP 89114.
Nothing was more secret than the MK Ultra, an account of CIA deception by Frank Camper, available at the American Freedom Network. If you act now, we'll throw in a free audio tape of the interview with Craig Roberts and Frank Camper, yours for free, by ordering the book, the MK Ultra, by calling 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245 for your free audio tape with $30 purchase of the MK Ultra, an account of CIA deception by Frank Camper, 1-800-205-6245.
Patriot Trading Group is the American Freedom Network's only choice for gold and silver. We strive to bring you truth and honesty with both talk shows and advertisers. This is why we have chosen the Patriot Trading Group as the only gold and silver dealer to appear on the American Freedom Network. I'm Don Wiedemann, president of the American Freedom Network. Give the Patriot Trading Group a call today at 1-800-951-0592 and become another satisfied customer of the Patriot Trading Group.
We are closed session for the politically impaired. KHNC Johnstown, KPMG, Deer Creek.